Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is All Saints' Day, and it's a kind of bittersweet day. It's a day when we as a Christian community remember those who have gone before us, those who have died. It's also a time when we remember those who are living among us, who are our saints. I know for me, this day has special meaning since my mom died. And I remember today my mother. And I remember all the wonderful stuff about her and the great times that we had. And I also remember all the other stuff. And I'm saddened, like many of you would be for your loved ones, that they have passed away. And yet, I rejoice to know that my mother, along with all the rest, join that great cloud of witnesses. We experience both the pain of memory and the joy of this resurrection promised in Christ on the same day. Well, I was thinking about those cloud of saints. And how many of you have ever been to Nebraska? Okay, for the rest of you who have better taste, I'm just kidding. Nebraska's a beautiful place. Jeannie and I got married, and her folks lived in Nebraska for a while, and we traveled up through the plains right after harvest. And as we were driving along, you know, Nebraska after harvest is kind of bare and flat, and there's rolling hills and occasional trees. But as we drove along in this rather frigid weather, I could see things moving, as in the whole field moving. And I thought, that's a little strange. And then all of a sudden we heard, and the entire field lifted up into the air. It was Canada geese on their annual flight, and it turns out that Nebraska's like right in the middle. And they stop and they eat the corn that's been left in the ground, on the ground after the harvest. And they rose up in this great conflagration, giant crowds of birds, and they flocked up and their wings were beating, and as you may guess, they were really noisy. And I thought, that's the cloud of saints. They're like the great flock of geese that just rise up all around us. You're waiting for it, aren't you? Except that the saints don't poop. But that's my image of this great cloud of witnesses, this great rising mass of God's faithful. But there's another side to this story about the geese. They're there for one primary reason, or two. One is to rest, and the other is to eat. Well, over the years, of course, in farming, if you don't know much about farming, you grow the corn dries out, it looks like it's dead, you run a combine over it, which is a big machine, and it pulls the corn in through the machine, shucks the dry corn off of the husk, throws it into a bin in the back. Well, you know, at the turn of the century, they had about a 70% efficiency rate, which meant that about 30% of the corn was left in the field unharvested or had fallen off. And guess who ate it? Canada geese and mice. But as farming has become more and more efficient, and the farms and machinery more technologically advanced, the amount of loss has become much smaller. So now very little of that corn remains in the field anymore. So that great cloud of witnesses, that great noisy flock of geese, are scrabbling more and more with each other and fighting for less and less food. The cloud of witnesses. Well, I wonder. I wonder about that cloud of witnesses these days. One of the commentators on this particular text, his name is Richard Swanson, talked about the gospel lesson, these Beatitudes with which we are so familiar. And he says the very first line in that text is, "Blessed are the poor." Well, the word in Greek is a really neat word. It starts with the letters P-T or Pi Tau. And the word is patukoi. Patukoi. What does that sound like? You can say it. Yeah, it sounds like somebody spitting, doesn't it? Patukoi. And he picked up the fact that when Jesus, and by the way, there's nothing special about that word. You know, sometimes when you read these words, they have special meanings and deep things going on. It means literally poor people. But the sound of it's important. And Richard Swanson said, you know, the poor people that Jesus speaks of in this text are the spit upon ones. The ones that nobody cares about. They're the ones who are at the bottom of the rung. And he talked about the fact that these poor people are scrabbling for a smaller and smaller piece of an ever-shrinking pie. A little bit like our Canada geese. And yet those are the ones who Jesus says are blessed. Blessed are the spit upon ones. Blessed are the hungry and those who weep. What a strange thing. Jesus, in a way, names what it is to be a saint by saying, Makarioi, blessed are those spit upon ones. Well, that seems so opposite of what we hold near and dear these days. For most of us, when we talk about the saints, we think about really quite glorious people. You know, my grandmother was probably a saint. I didn't like her, but she was probably, you know, she was a lovely Southern Baptist old lady. And I think people thought she was a saint because she was like perfect. But she didn't like cards. She really hated dancing. And she never would drink anything. She's a Southern Baptist from Southern Arkansas. Is that what a saint looks like? This morally upright, perfect person? Maybe, yeah. But maybe the saint is also the patukoi, the spat upon one. When Jesus turns the world and our vision of what a saint is upside down, he does it with this Beatitudes where he blesses that which we will not and choose not to bless or even see as a blessing. Jesus is talking about this great flock of witnesses, the vast majority of the world who are literally scrabbling around in the field for an ever-shrinking share of what is left. And then he calls us to proclaim God's love for them and our love for them. It seems to me that what it means to be a saint is not so much to be morally perfect or to be extra nice. What makes us saints is not our behavior, it is how we live out the Spirit of God in us in the world for the sake of Christ. We are saints because God has proclaimed us saints in God. But what will that look like these days? I've seen some really unsaintly behavior this week, and I've found myself really grieving about it. And what I've seen, and I think many of you have seen as well, is some of the testimony before the legislature in this last week. And I have been astonished to see people in the name of Christ pronounce such hatred, such lack of tolerance, such moral superiority. And I'm bothered because it's sort of like we're ignoring the patukoi of the world. We're forgetting that whether we agree about a particular issue or not, whether or not you stand on one side or the other is completely irrelevant if we cast out God's love. If we forget that each one of us was made by God in the image of God for the sake of the world, that every one of us is a kind of patukoi, and that we treat each other with that kind of love and respect in Jesus Christ. And so each one of us maybe become part of that great flock of geese in the world, scrabbling for that little bit that's left, but we do it in the full and wonderful knowledge that God has pronounced us God's own. And that God's love, no matter what we might agree about or disagree about, is really at the center of who we are. So the Beatitudes, those powerful words, that little golden rule at the end, which people, a surprising number of people think that Ben Franklin made up. That we do treat each other with the love that God treats us. And that we live out our lives as God's saints. Not dead, not just wearing robes, not just church people, not just heterosexual or homosexual or white or Asian, not one group or another, but all of God's people made new in the Spirit. And so you are the saints of God on this All Saints Sunday. Amen.
Amen.